Chapter 5 Two Storms. Pilliam retrieved the spear, yanking it loose from what remained of the Hell Reaper's head and neck. The charge in the bladed spear flickered and gave out. Grunting, he tossed it aside and took his bolt rifle in a two-handed grip.
"You're bleeding," said a voice beneath him.
He looked down to see a grizzled woman in worn fatigues and battered armour, brandishing a serrated-edged combat knife in one bloody hand. She'd lost her helmet, and her short, dark hair stuck out in tufty clumps from being sandwiched beneath it.
"Flesh wounds," he replied, about to move on.
"Don't leave us," said the woman.
Pilliam turned to shout an order for his battle brothers to come together, then made a swift count of the other armsmen with the woman. Deeming their combat efficacy negligible, he carried on.
"Please!
Can you fight?"
he asked, calling out as he moved away. The bolt rifle bucked in his hands as he took shots of opportunity. Somewhere ahead of him, Secutius and his squad were taking the fight to the enemy. He wanted to join them.
"Yes."
"Then fight,"
he said, making for the warp engine, where Ithro Arcadron fought alone. The honour guard lay dead at the librarian's feet, having given their last to defend him and keep safe the warp engine.
"What are those things?"
asked Secutius, letting rip with another short burst of fire, trying to conserve ammunition. The space marines in the arena had consolidated together and forged a half-armoured wedge of monstrously armoured gladiators. They fought around a core of warriors, weapons facing out, constantly moving and engaging.
"Demon hosts,"
said Dacius. The old veteran had kept pace well and fought with a tenacity Pilliam had not seen in the arena.
"Our most effective tactic is to fight them up close."
He brandished a revving chainsword.
"Blades only. In my experience, they work the best. Bolt shells tend not to take." "I have no issue with that," declared Pilliam. "I prefer to look my enemy in the eye as I vanquish it." "Then you had best get to vanquishing,"
Dacius replied, and Pilliam followed his gaze. A host descended on Arcadron, and he looked hard-pressed to resist it. Arcs of lightning spat from his staff, raking the ragged cultists who were being joined by increasing numbers of traitor marines. A few carried the markings of the Hell Reapers. Others claimed allegiance to the War Dogs, the Exultant, Horde of Misery, and half a dozen other warbands. But it was the demon hosts, the possessed, the ones in chains, that posed the most severe threat. A fresh whip-crack of lightning lashed through the traitors, scything limbs and rending bone. But their fervor was unbreakable. Fire uncoiled from Arcadron's fingertips, a flame vortex hot enough to crack ceramite and turn power armor to ash. A rain of silver blades cascaded from on high, shredding flesh and piercing metal. The dead piled atop the dead. Sweat drenched Arcadron's forehead, the hollows around his eyes deepening with every fresh conjuration. And yet, the possessed endured. Pilliam waded into the fight, bent on reaching Arcadron, and saw three such creatures slowly converging on the stricken librarian, and, ultimately, the warp engine. The first had the dishevelled disposition of an emaciated tramp. The second, a woman with black diaphanous hair, metal stakes rammed through her wrists and ankles. The last was an urchin boy, bald as pale marble, a crown of bony horns jutting from a malformed scalp. Pilliam had no way of knowing the true face of the horrors lurking beneath their distended and abused flesh, and he did not care to. All that mattered was ending them. Strafing his bolt rifle in a wide arc, he cleared a path, then swapped his firearm for a gleaming combat blade. He saw Secutius had done the same.
"He is fast for his age, this one," Secutius said.
Dacius had already moved into the breach, urging others nearby to follow.
"Invictus!"
The other veterans were on his lead, fighting like they were born to it, like they had never known anything other. Pilliam was determined not to be outdone by their example.
"Don't tell me this isn't about honour," he said,
though Secutius didn't argue. It's always about honour. He and Secutius drove their warriors on.
For Gelimer and the Crusade!
He roared, and a second spear wedge of unarmoured ultramarines joined the first, eager to overtake it. Rita rolled onto her knees and gagged, the stench of the traitor marine's blood forcing hot bile up her throat. The fight had moved on, following strength, cleaving to the worst of the violence. A few ultramarines and the scattered remnants of armsmen who had managed to push up encroached at the edges of a thick horde of traitors. The disparate warbands had all but ceased fighting each other for the spoils, and their concerted effort was beginning to turn into a winning strategy. Rita pushed up onto her feet, dragging those armsmen near her who were not dead up by their scruffs. Geraint, too.
On your feet!
She said, vaguely aware she was slurring her words. She heard Crave shouting nearby. He sounded angry. So was she.
We're not done yet!
The warrior who had killed the traitor marine and saved her life had cut a path into the horde, he and several others, all without their armour, but no less imposing or brutal for that. To see them fight like that, sinews visibly straining, over-muscled bodies bulging with effort, it appalled her. By stripping away their armour, their mantle, they appeared even less human than when glaring from behind ceramite-sheathed retinal lenses. The one standing on the warp engine's dais, he radiated power. And as Rita felt the awe Ithro Arcadron inspired, she made ready to sound the charge. It would likely be the Armsmaster's last. Only now, at the end, did her fatigue threaten to finish her. She vowed to hold on for as long as she could.
Who are we?
She bellowed, finding her voice and the last vestiges of her courage. The reply never came. She had found her maul and raised it like a bannered lance, about to declare victory or death, when Arcadron fell. His fate was not obvious at first. The librarian appeared to stumble, as if reeling from a powerful blow, though no hand, at least not one that could be seen by mortal perception, struck him. Then he shook, and the lightning arc spilling from his eyes and cascading from his staff grew wild and unfocused. Fire took hold of his robes, and he began to burn. His conjured storm flared magnesium bright, then dimmed and turned inwards. Arcadron's skin glowed, a lantern's hot light beneath it, and tendrils of smoke uncoiled from his mouth and eyes. Regaining a fighting stance, he cut apart the chained vagabond, bisecting him from shoulder to hip and violently shearing the two halves by the splaying of his left hand. His defiance was brief, as two other chained creatures advanced upon him, a siren-like woman in dirty grey fatigues and an urchin boy with a swollen, malformed head. As Arcadron shrank back, the creatures seemed to grow, and they curved over the librarian like shadows encroaching on the light, their claws extended, their grubby teeth bared. He grew rigid, jerking violently as if he were being impaled by a dozen invisible blades. The lightning died, and in that moment, so too did Ithro Arcadron, the silver eagle star falling from his nerveless fingers as he coughed up a spurt of rich, transhuman blood. His limbs folded, snapping across the bone, armour tearing like parchment, legs and arms bent inwards by an unseen hand. His neck snapped back, his skull disappearing in a welter of bloody mist and bone fragments. Rita screamed, a wail from the pit of her soul, from the deepest well of her despair. She lurched and fell as a discernible shudder of disbelief swept through the defenders. A piece of crushed and bloody metal clanged to the deck, the remains of Ithro Arcadron. The librarian had been utterly destroyed, his armour, flesh and bone, pulverised together as if by an industrial compressor. Pilliam fought on, harder than before, desperation lending him urgency and wrath. It was an unfamiliar sensation. The Indomitus Crusade had been baptismal, and the engagements he had fought in hard, but nothing like this. Not the bleeding edge, near annihilation stakes they battled here, in this hell-racked chamber far from Terra's light.
"This is not glory,"
Secutius said, echoing Pilium's troubled thoughts.
"It is death,"
Decius replied. The three fighting shoulder to shoulder, as all the Ultramarines now were.
"It is Ultramar!"
Decius cut down a war-dog, splitting the warrior's snarling face and letting the chainsword chew through the meat. Wrenching the blade free, the blood flecked across his face, and for a brief moment, Pilium saw the wildness of the ancient Macragian battle kings in the veteran's eyes.
"We are Macrag!"
snarled Decius, clashing with another war-dog.
"We die on our feet or not at all!"
Pilium sheathed his combat blade in an exalted's neck, a puff of cloying perfume spilling from the warrior's mouth, making him gag. Scowling, he ripped off the dying warrior's helm and shattered his skull with a savage headbutt.
"I'm not dying here!"
he declared, tearing his blade free and letting the exalted fall. It felt good to rage, but like a fire eating up the last of its oxygen, it could not last. The circle of defiance was shrinking, as one by one the Ultramarines and their allies fell to a traitor's blade.
"I'm not dying here!"
he roared. But as the hordes briefly parted and he saw the way to the warp engines, he realized it would not be up to him. The two demon hosts had entered the unnatural aura of the machine, and in the flickers of eldritch light, glimpses of their true forms were revealed. Leathery wings, scabrous, bone claws and scaled red hides. A serpentine body, writhing with peristalsis, hoofed feet and gnarled. They would breach the warp engine's cowl and unmake the machine within.
"The engine fails, and the Gellerfield fails too,"
said Decius, fighting against hopelessness. His gaze found Pilium and Secutius, the eyes of the three meeting in a brief moment of recognition.
"It has been an honour, brothers."
Secutius gave a brief salute, but Pilium could find no such charity within him.
"Defeat and annihilation are not honourable," he said, and chafed bitterly against his fate.
The cowl of the machine had been stripped away, a discarded metallic rind littering the deck.
"Who are we?"
Decius roared, the old fool defiant until the last. A thunderous explosion answered, forcing Pilium to look up at the vaulted ceiling as it caught fire. Rita had lost sight of the warp engine. The dais had become so crowded in the struggle for the machine that all she saw was an ever-tightening knot of Ultramarines and the traitor hordes squabbling over the bloody honour of killing them.
"We are dead,"
breathed Geraint, slipping on one knee. The pale and haggard faces of the other armsmen suggested they thought so too. Rita did not deny it. She reached out and gripped Geraint's hand. He turned, and his eyes were pits of sorrow, of a life not lived. She wanted to say something, anything, but the words caught in her throat, and the pain in her side she had denied for the last few minutes came into acute focus. The power maul fell from her fingers, shorting out with a few last sparks as it hit the ground. Rita followed it, her hand slipping from Geraint's. His expression changed as he realized how badly she was injured. The chamber dimmed, darkening at the edges, but the onset of shadow was swift. Pain kept Rita awake for a few more seconds. She barely felt the hard deck rush up to meet her, the jolt of metal against bone. She heard thunder and thought that must be impossible. With the dying of her sight, she saw fire as the dark metal sky crashed down and a host of armor-clad angels soared from on high to deliver the defenders from death. She wept, holding on for a few more seconds just to catch a glimpse. The crested helm, the glittering sword, a regal cloak fluttering in the air, the courage and authority of his voice, the inspiration, leading a golden charge.
"We are Macrag!"
Rita smiled as she faded into unconsciousness, tears welling in her eyes.
Sicarius!